Front-page dramas. Today's radio play, Whispering Walls, is based on another adventure of H. Ashton Wolfe, former member of the French Detective Police, whose thrilling life story is appearing currently in the American Weekly, the magazine distributed at all first Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Whispering Walls was produced in the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company. It is nearing the ghostly hour of 3 a.m. Two men and a woman are seated in the vast library of an ancestral chateau near Paris. The woman is nervously twisting her handkerchief. The men glance at the face of a tall clock in a corner and puff excitedly at their cigarettes.
You must solve the mystery, Dr. Bethune. You've got to.
We'll do our best. May I see you?
Right-o, Doctor.
It will have to be more than just your best. I can't stand these visitations any longer. If they keep up, I'll kill myself.
Now, Madame Bethune, you must control yourself.
Control myself? That's easy enough to say. But wait until you see what I've seen here.
That's what they've come from Paris for, Madame.
It's nearing 3 o'clock. The visitation, as you call it, starts then?
On the hour.
How very punctual.
Now, Madame Bovary, while we wait, I should like to ask you a few questions.
Very well, Dr. Bethune. I shall be glad of something to keep my mind off this horrifying thing.
Very well. Question number one. Who are your nearest neighbors?
I have but two. One is Professor Colbert, whose only interest in life is the history of extinct races. He has a secretary who does the excavating for him.
I say, a lazy beggar, isn't he? The secretary does all the work, and he reaps all the glory.
But the professor is a cripple, paralyzed in his legs.
Sorry, I take it all back.
Does he ever leave his house?
Yes. He's wheeled about in a chair by his secretary.
Yes. And who is the other neighbor?
Le Comte Doré, a brute of a man who apparently lives only for hunting, riding, and the breeding of prize dogs.
Dogs, eh? How very interesting. By the way, madame, you have sent your own dog away, haven't you?
Yes, Dr. Bethune. If those tracks appear again, you may be sure they were not made by my dog.
When did these mysterious occurrences begin, madame?
As you already know, when my husband died, he left me with little more than this chateau and a great number of debts. I wanted to get away from here for a while, so I thought it advisable to try to pay expenses by renting this place. I did so.
To whom did you rent it, madame?
To an American who wished to investigate the shooting. He arrived with a valet and a soldier, a huge fellow well over 6 feet. And I started on my holiday.
Don't tell me they were scared, too.
The next morning, the valet was found dead.
Murder?
No. The doctor said sheer terror had caused heart failure.
And the American?
He had to go into a nursing home to gain his sanity.
I don't wonder you have the jitters, madame.
Nor I.
Hello. It's 3:01.
You sit over there, Ashenwood, where you'll be right in line with those windows. I'll sit here where I can watch those stairs out in the hall. Now, madame, if you would be so kind as to turn out the light, we'll wait for the show to begin.
Certainly, Dr. Bethune.
Quiet, everybody. Don't move.
And listen.
Do you hear that, Doctor?
Yes. Ashenwood, let's go into the hall.
Right, Holmes.
May I come too?
Certainly. But don't turn on the lights yet. I use my pocket flashlight here.
I say, is this all that happened?
Wait. You may see it yet.
It is?
A horrible, shining death's head. It slopes down the stairs here in the hall.
Did you see that, Doctor? That chop seemed to go right through it.
Why, there's nothing here.
Let's see if there are any tracks at the top of the stairs.
Is Dr. Bertillon,
look where? What is it?
That oak panel is bleeding.
Yeah.
My bullet must have landed there. But why should blood appear?
So you too have seen an oak panel bleed. I didn't tell you about this because I was afraid you wouldn't believe me.
You've seen this happen before, madame?
Yes. The first night I returned, I heard the whispering in the walls of my room. And I fired my revolver blindly at one of them. Blood poured from the bullet hole.
Are you sure it's blood, madame?
Yes, yes.
It's real blood, all right, Doctor. See? It's starting to coagulate.
Look here.
But don't crack the bend.
Double row of them.
I say, Doctor, you don't think a dog could be trained to walk on his hind legs and carry that grinning skull?
Perhaps I don't. We'll see.
What's our next move?
Tomorrow we shall visit the two neighbors. The count with his dogs and the professor whose specialty is digging for old bones.
You have seemed disappointed, my dear doctor. Wasn't your investigation for Britain favor him?
I must confess it isn't, Professor Colbert. Frankly, I'm puzzled.
Indeed. Well, can I be of any assistance?
Yes, I think so. Sometimes discussing a case with a layman gives us investigators a new slant on things.
Well, I should be honored if you would look on me as a friend, Doctor.
Thank you, Professor.
Well, my secretary and I will be only too happy to serve you, won't you, Pierre?
Oh, yes, sir.
Very nice of you both, I'm sure.
We intend to spend one more night in the chateau. And if we discover nothing tangible, I shall throw up the case.
You intend to spend one more night there, eh?
Yes.
If I may say so, that takes a lot of courage.
And if I may say so, that's what we have plenty of.
By the way, Professor, we just called on Count Doré. You know him?
No, he seems to be rather an unfriendly sort of man.
Yes, we found that out. We won't allow anyone to approach his house or his kennels. If he has nothing to hide, why does he set guards around his dogs?
He prevented you from looking at his dog, did he?
Yes. Yeah, but, my dear doctor, what have dogs to do with the case?
Oh, didn't you know? A very queer track, like a paw mark of a huge dog, has been found in and about the chateau.
Oh, really?
And Madame Beauvais tells us that a luminous dog has been seen in the shrubbery.
Oh, and you think it might have been one of these count animals, eh?
Well, if there isn't a real goat, then Doré is at the bottom of this trickery, according to my deduction.
And his refusal to let you see his dog seems to bolster your fears. Yes, you may be right, don't you think so, Pierre?
Yes, sir, I do indeed.
But tonight we'll catch the beast, or man, or whatever it is.
How?
Fences have been dug around the chateau. As you know, the ground hereabouts is soft red clay. We shall see the prince clearly.
Yes, but how can you see him at night?
I have brought two very powerful pocket flashlights from Paris.
May I see them?
Oh, I don't carry my tools around with me, Professor. I have left them in my room along with my revolver.
Oh.
Tonight, if I see the slightest movement, I shall shoot at once.
Oh, how I wish I could be with you. Terrible to be paralyzed as I am and unable to take part in the exciting activities of life.
Yes, it is unfortunate. You have our profound sympathy.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Well, I'm afraid we must be going. Come, Martin Wolf.
Right with you, sir.
Pierre will show you to the door. You must forgive me for not rising, gentlemen, at least to bid you adieu, but I'm very tired.
Oh, that's quite all right, Professor. Thank you for letting us have so much of your valuable time.
Not at all. So welcome at any time.
Well, goodbye, Professor.
Goodbye, Professor.
Goodbye, gentlemen. Come again.
I purposely left my stick. We must go back. I want to see if our friend, the professor, is really paralyzed.
Yes?
I'm sorry to bother you, but I'm afraid I left my stick.
One moment, please. I'll fetch it.
I'm not to be let in again.
Just as I thought.
You mean?
The professor's compliments. But he begs you to excuse him, and he sends you your stick.
So the professor regrets his inability to take part in the exciting activities of life, does he? Just wait until midnight, Ashton Wolf, and we'll see about that.
He will. I'm sure of it, Dr. Dupuy.
There he is, Doctor.
Hear him?
Yes. You've got the flashlight from the revolver, Doctor?
Yes, right here. Quiet now.
He's at it again. This devilish bell.
My God, what's this horrible ringing? Quick, Dr. Dupuy. Turn on your flashlight.
I say, Doctor, my lamp's gone wrong. Try yours.
Mine won't light either. This place is bewitched.
Those flashlights were brand new. Look!
The death head.
This time I'll bring it down.
Don't shoot. You shot straight through.
This time I won't. I'll throw my gun at it.
Oh, did you kill the ghost?
Why, quickly.
Yes. There you are, sir.
Why, the hall is empty. No sign of anything.
Oh, yes. A few signs. Look.
Oh, the bleeding panel.
Yes, where apparently one of my shots took effect.
Apparently? You mean?
Certainly. The first shots were blank. They thought of that when they broke into our room this afternoon and tinkered with our flashlight.
They? Who?
Your invalid professor and his secretary. Oh. We'll attack them.
But where are they?
You see, my gun went through that mirror.
No. There's a secret passage behind it.
Yes. These are what they call Chinese mirrors. Transparent from either side in the dark. Our ghost could watch every move we made. Here, let's find the spring which opens the secret panel.
Oh, so that's why you faked being scared, so he could hear you.
Yes.
How did you know the professor wasn't really crippled?
I noticed his slippers this morning. The soles were quite worn through and the heels run over.
And a real invalid slippers would be quite new.
Exactly. Ah, here's the spring off. Come, we must go through this passage and catch our poor invalid.
But we have no light.
Here, I say one flashlight. And here's your revolver.
But the bleeding panel, Dr. Bethune, how did that happen?
Yes, madam. Blood was squirted by a syringe on the outside.
Listen. What is it? What? There's a door.
The gun ready. Yes, I'll open it now.
The secretary, writhing on the floor.
Well, Pierre, where's the professor?
He's gone. He's done me in. The dog. He's hiding.
Doctor, what did he mean about the dog?
The professor was a mysterious dog. Yes, he wore shoes with fake stripes. That's why there was only a double row of prints.
And the whistling walls. What caused them?
This machine. I'll turn the handle. Listen.
Oh, how simple it is when you see things in the light. And yet, Dr. Bethune, why should they select my chateau for their operations?
Because it has been the headquarters of the gang for years, and they wanted to scare you off and keep it to themselves.
For years? Then my husband was one of them?
Yes, Madame Beauvais.
But where's the professor?
He has managed to escape us this time, but don't worry, Action Wolf. We shall meet him again.
Don't miss the thrilling details of this newest adventure of H. Aston Wolfe. It will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. This is Wentworth announcing. Your own announcer will now give you further details of the many exciting true life stories and articles appearing in the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all first Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Today's radio play, The Spirit Murder, is based on another intriguing case from the records of H. Aston Wolfe, former member of the French Detective Police, whose thrilling stories appear currently in the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst's Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. The Spirit Murder was produced in the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company.